This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, my colleague. He is in London. He writes the column Political Economics, observing Europe, the United Kingdom, and then across the Atlantic to the U.S., all struggling with the same challenge, inflation. We have a headline from Bloomberg pointing to the fact that the Federal Reserve Board is meeting these hours and one more day, and then we'll make comments on the state of inflation fighting, the jumbo hikes of the summer to be followed, we're told, by more jumbo hikes. The same is said of the European Central Bank Board, because the new number in European inflation is 10.7%. This is the Eurozone. However, that speaks to the inflation across Europe, including in London, where Joe is housed. So we look at the Fed as a way of reflecting upon the challenges of all these central bankers. The headline, Fed's employment mandate takes a backseat in inflation fight. Subhead, Fed's low political profile at risk with job losses set to rise, keeping pressure on Fed. We're moving in different directions here, Joe. So the question raised always now, is the Fed rising too fast, too high, and will it pause? I asked the same question of the European Central Bank. Too fast, too high, will it pause? It doesn't have one answer, but how do you read the tea leaves right now from London? Are we ready for a pause in Washington? Is the ECB ready for a pause in Brussels? Thank you.
Well, I think that the problem that they're all running into is the fact that clearly inflation is not really responding to the rate increases that they've done so far, and it is not responding to whatever quantitative tightening the Fed has done. The European Central Bank has not started, allowing assets from its quantitative easing to roll off of its balance sheet. And so this is creating a real problem because we also know, in fact, we saw in the UK as a big part of the trust phenomenon, that rising interest rates are now going to reach a point where you will start having to worry about financial stability. In Britain, it was this whole complicated issue with pension funds whose hedging strategies turned out to be badly exposed to rising interest rates. It might not be pensions in the U.S. Inevitably, it's going to be something. You're seeing big repricing going on in the stock market in the U.S. as a result of these interest rate increases. My colleagues at the Wall Street Journal reported this week that investors are now frowning on the tech stocks that they used to like and trying to pivot into stock, companies that have a history of actually paying dividends, which is a sign that they are productive companies. That kind of repricing is very disruptive for investors. And so I think that the central banks are kind of caught in this bind where they don't have inflation under control in the way that, and they don't seem to be getting inflation under control right now, because there aren't yet a lot of signs that it's coming down. But it's also becoming clear that they're starting to have some kind of effect on the labor market, and even more so, they're starting to have some kind of effect in the financial markets. And so you do start to wonder, are they looking for an escape ramp? And I mean, certainly a lot of people in Wall Street are going to try to use the financial press to hint not so subtly toward the Fed and the European Central Bank and the Bank of England and others that, hey, guys, maybe it's time to ease up a little bit, and we'll give you all of these reasons why you can hang up the mission accomplished sign, because inflation will come down eventually next year. And meanwhile, don't put us under so much stress in the financial markets. But I think that's a big part of the reason why people are starting to get nervous and starting to look toward a central bank pivot out of inflation fighting mode, because it's becoming clear that if they really were serious about fighting inflation, interest rates would have to go substantially higher. And we don't know what the consequences of that might be for the financial markets.
There's a term of art called terminal rate. What is that, Joe? And what is the debate over the terminal rate?
The terminal rate is how they describe what they think the highest rate the Fed or another central bank will have to reach in order to subdue inflation before they can start cutting again. So when people talk about the terminal rate, they're thinking, well, what is the highest level that, you know, in the U.S., it's the overnight Fed funds rate is the target rate that they're looking at. What is the highest that we'll have to get to before they will be able to claim victory against inflation because, you know, they'll have brought price increases back under control and then they can start cutting again. And this has been a moving target all along. I actually forget exactly where the current estimate is. I think it's somewhere in the 4.5% range.
Yeah, it's somewhere mid fours, as I recall. Although, you know, that number moves all the time.
Well, yeah, one of the reasons that it moves is that, 4.5 or 4.6 is the, you know, number that's coming to me is quite low compared to where inflation is right now. Because if you have inflation of 8 or 9% and a nominal short-term interest rate of 4.5%, that suggests that your real inflation-adjusted interest rate is still negative. There isn't really an awful lot of track record for, you know, successfully fighting inflation if you have a negative real interest rate. So I think that one of the things that's happening now is that Chairman Jerome Powell has been trying to send all of these messages about what the terminal rate is going to be, and they've never been particularly plausible because they always implied still a negative real interest rate. But that estimate of the terminal rate still has been high enough to spook financial investors.
I read from history. This is Bloomberg's history of where we could be going. This is February 1981, meaning Ronald Reagan is fresh in the White House for his first term, and Paul Volcker, continuing from the Carter administration, is chairman of the Federal Reserve. In February 1981, when inflation was 11.4%, which seems high to me, but it's really consistent with what we just heard from the ECB, and unemployment 7.4%, Paul Volcker told the Senate Committee on Banking he was, quote, wholly convinced that given that the 4% unemployment target couldn't be reached in the short run, the kinds of policies we are following offer the best prospect of returning the economy in time to a course where we can combine as full employment as we can get with price stability. But the following year, by the end of 82, unemployment had risen to almost 11%, the highest since the Great Depression. It didn't return to 6% until Volcker took office, where it stood when Volcker took office until he stepped down in 87. Are we going to go through nearly a lost decade of high unemployment? Is that where we're heading? Because right now, the highest estimate I've seen, Joe, is 6% unemployment, which would bite, but it wouldn't be 11%. Are we headed to 11?
Well, I'm resisting trying to forecast what the unemployment rate might be because I am not entirely convinced that it has a direct relationship to what's going to happen with inflation. I mean, certainly their theory is that if they can increase unemployment so there's more slack in the labor market, that will control the rate of price increases. And I'm not entirely convinced that there's always been an awful lot of evidence for that. And so I think that the key problem that we're going to have and the real thing that might very much affect the unemployment picture is not so much the interest rates as the fact that you are probably now going to have a recession that will happen in some form because you're going to have to pivot out of all of the malinvestment that made sense when interest rates were very low that don't make sense when interest rates are at a more normal level. And at the same time, the big unknown here is what's going to happen on the elected parts of the government, especially after the midterm election. And are we going to start seeing economic policies, you know, that will be good for the supply side of the economy, make it easier for people to pivot into productive investment as we shift out of the unproductive investment that we've been in? Because that was the big part of what happened in the 1980s. It wasn't just Paul Volcker and the Fed increasing interest rates. It was also Reagan's supply-side tax reforms and deregulation of the economy that allowed for this pivot into productive investment. And so I think that the big concern here shouldn't be necessarily that the Fed is going to push a lot of people into unemployment. It's going to be that Congress and the White House are going to push a lot of people into unemployment by not creating opportunities for the productive investment that would create the jobs to replace the jobs that you might lose as interest rates rise.
I I go to the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, former chairman of the Federal Reserve as well. And she is a contradictory opinion, which may be accurate. I don't see signs of recession in this economy at this point. What is striking about this remark, she is the Treasury Secretary, is that it is in opposite to major bankers who are all predicting definitely recession 23, definitely. Maybe a deep recession, maybe a shallow one. They go back and forth on that. So what does Janet Yellen see? I want to find something here positive, Joe. What does she see that says we can avoid a recession?
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint you here, John, because I think that what she sees is that there's a midterm election next week. And so the administration of which she is a part has been desperately trying to talk up any little sliver or, you know, slender, you know, bit of good economic news in order to try to distract people from the concern and unease that they're feeling in their lived experience of the economy before they go to the ballot box next week. And so I think that's really what's going on there. But I am in the camp that is concerned that you're going to see a downturn of some sort. I mean, certainly you're seeing a lot of early indications of that just anecdotally in terms of the first hints of layoffs in the tech sector that we've been seeing, you know, signs that companies might be scaling back on some of their investment plans and are kind of tightening their belts, bracing for a downturn that they see coming. All of those very early anecdotal indicators do not point to an economy that is going to be in rude health next year. So I do think that we have to prepare ourselves for the fact that there is going to be some kind of downturn. But we should understand that how deep a downturn it is will partly be a political choice about whether the administration and Congress want to implement the kind of supply side reforms that might, you know, allow us to skate by with a relatively shallow downturn.
We go to Germany, Frankfurt, Reuters reporting on the ECB. This is Christine Lagarde, who is the comparable role to Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. The European Central Bank must keep raising interest rates to fight off inflation, even if the possibility of a Eurozone recession has increased. This, according to Christine Lagarde in an interview in these last hours. The quote, our mandate is price stability, and we have to deliver on that using all the tools we have available. We are determined to do what is necessary to bring inflation back to our 2% target. Joe, 10.7% to 2%? Can they get there? What is the scale of this recession he's talking about?
I think this is going to be a big problem for the Eurozone. And one of the things to understand here is that it might be that the reason that Christine Lagarde came out sounding particularly hawkish in some of these interviews is that they had a policy setting meeting last week, the outcome of which the markets really perceived as very dovish on inflation, because, you know, after talking a good hawkish game earlier in the year, the ECB seemed to suggest that it might actually be approaching its terminal rate sooner than people had thought. And, you know, especially now after that meeting, you have a 10.7% inflation rate, which is just politically toxic and very difficult for ordinary households heading into what already we knew was going to be a difficult winter as it is. I think that she's probably under a lot of pressure to demonstrate that she is still serious about fighting the inflation. But are they? I mean, they don't really seem to have a clear plan for what form their own quantitative tightening might be, you know, selling off or allowing to run off the balance sheet any of these trillions of euros of bonds that they have bought over the past few years. So, you know, I think people are very confused about what the ECB's intentions are.
I'm speaking with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of The Wall Street Journal. We cannot, of course, see the future, but we can see the present, life in London. And when we come back, life in London in wartime, do you know what is Just Stop Oil when we return? I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.